lived in Bethany with his sisters Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick, so the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him,
"Lord, your dear friend is very sick."
But when Jesus heard about it, he said,
"Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this."
So, although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Finally, he said to his disciples,
"Let's go back to Judea."
But his disciples objected.
"Rabbi, only a few days ago, the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going there again?"
"There are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people can walk safely. They can see because they have the light of this world. But at night, there is danger of stumbling because they have no light. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up."
"Lord, if he is sleeping, he will soon get better."
The disciples thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. So he told them plainly,
"Lazarus is dead. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now you will really believe. Come, let's go see him."
Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to his fellow disciples,
"Let's go too and die with Jesus."
When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. But Martha got word that Jesus was coming. She went to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus,
"Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask."
"Your brother will rise again."
"Yes, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day."
"I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha?"
"Yes, Lord, I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God."
Then she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her,
"The teacher is here and wants to see you."
So Mary immediately went to him. Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. When the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus's grave to weep. So they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled.
"Where have you put him?"
They told him, "Lord, come and see." Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, "See how much he loved him?" But some said, "This man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying?" Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance.
"Roll the stone aside."
But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested,
"Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible."
"Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?"
So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said,
"Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so that they will believe that you sent me."
Then Jesus shouted,
"Lazarus, come out."
And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth.
"Unwrap him and let him go."
Many of the people who were with Mary believed in Jesus when they saw this happen. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, grace and peace to you this day from God our Creator, from Jesus, our Savior, and from the Holy Spirit who breathes life into us. On Catherine and my first day of vacation in Hawaii, first night, we stayed at an upcountry bed and breakfast in Maui. And the next morning at breakfast, our host asked us what we planned to do for the day, and we explained that we wanted to go further up the mountain to Haleakala National Park. Haleakala is the dormant volcano on Maui, and there are hiking trails. And so we planned to do some hiking, maybe hike down into the crater as far as we might get in a day so that we can get out again. Mike told us that sounded good. He said, just remember that those trails of cinder rock can be slippery, they can be treacherous, that people have slid off ledges to their death. Mike continued, these islands can be a dangerous place. Did you hear about the guy who was on his honeymoon on the other side of the island? He and his wife were visiting a blowhole, and a blowhole is a hole in a rock near the coast. The ocean goes underneath the rock and comes out the blowhole, and he was standing over the blowhole when the ocean came up and caught him and pulled him back down, and they never found him. He probably was the sharks that got him, they said, and people ask me about sharks at our beaches, and I tell them that if you go swimming in the ocean, you're swimming with the sharks, and if the sharks don't get you, the riptides and the currents probably will. Now, Mike was reminding us that Mother Nature is unforgiving and that death comes even to paradise, but I'm pretty sure he'll never get a job with the Hawaii Visitors Bureau. Today we hear of how death came to Bethany. Bethany is a little town just over the hill, a couple miles from Jerusalem. Bethany isn't really paradise, but it is the place where Jesus' good friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived, all siblings. It seems like this is a story that maybe we should be reading in Easter, after Jesus has risen from the dead, after he's stepped out of the grave. But perhaps God knows that we need it now, that we need to hear a story like this in Lent, especially after yet another one of our saints, the saints in our congregation, died this past week. Yesterday we held Dick Sorum's funeral here. These flowers are just a few of what were here yesterday. Many of you know Dick is the guy who maybe stopped you the first time you came to visit Spirit of Joy. We've lost too many of our saints lately. So perhaps this story shows up now because God knows we need a win. We need a story about victory over death because death keeps barging into our churches and barging into our families and barging even into paradise. And so John's report of Jesus' encounter with his dead friend comes just in time. And it's kind of a rehearsal for what God is going to do permanently with Jesus. This encounter between Jesus and Lazarus is our assurance that there is a power at loose in the universe that's even stronger in death. A power which is able to call us out of our stinking tombs into the sweet fullness of life. Lazarus was living with his sisters, Mary and Martha. You maybe remember Mary and Martha. Mary was the one who, right before Palm Sunday, anoints Jesus with ointment and then wipes his feet dry with her hair, much to the shock of the proper people in town. Martha, her sister, is best known for the one who's always in the kitchen, even when Jesus shows up, setting up or cleaning up. We know less than either one of them than we do. We know less about Lazarus. Lazarus seems to be the main character in the story, but he never utters a single word. Maybe he was just too sick. Or maybe the point of the story is not really Lazarus. but rather to show off something about Jesus. So Jesus is out on the road, teaching and preaching, and somehow Martha and Mary know where he is, and they track him down, and a messenger comes to Jesus with news. Lord, your hunting and fishing buddy Lazarus is very ill. Stop. Please come at once. Stop. Only you can save him now. Stop. Mary and Martha. To our surprise, Jesus doesn't seem all that concerned. He doesn't grab his home communion set and rush to the hospital. He downplays the news. This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of Man might be glorified through it. Now, we don't know if this little speech gets back to Lazarus and if it was any comfort to him or Mary or Martha at all. I wonder about that. All we know is that upon receiving the news of Lazarus' illness, Jesus stays right where he is for two more days. And while he is talking to his travel agent about getting tickets to Bethany, Lazarus dies. When Jesus finally gets to Bethany, Martha runs out to meet him, and she lets Jesus have it. It's a reminder that when we're caught in grief, we're not often at our best, or not worried about propriety. Not when your heart's been ripped out. Jesus, where have you been? If you had gotten here quicker, if you had come right away, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. Mary doesn't even come out of the house. She's so distraught. But then Martha adds that she thinks that even now it might not be too late, because she believes that God will do anything that Jesus asks. And Jesus replies, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never, in fact, finally die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, I do believe, Martha replies. And then she follows Jesus to see him demonstrate the truth of his words. Author Barbara Brown Taylor writes that she can never hear this story without thinking of her friend Matilda. Matilda died several years ago. She had amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, better known as Lou Gehrig's disease. The disease, as it does, gradually stole from Matilda the control of all her muscles, first her facial muscles and then her vocal cords, and then her legs. For the last year of her life, she communicated by writing on one of those children's slate where you can write on it and then erase, write on it and erase. Sometimes she would get so excited she would write it and erase before people could read what she was writing. Matilda still found a lot to get excited about. Watercolors, for instance. When she could not talk anymore, she taught herself to paint until her kitchen was papered with tulips and peonies and daffodils and hibiscus. And when you went to visit Matilda, you painted. That was one of the rules. Didn't matter if you had no ability, if the last time you held a brush was when you were in elementary school. Matilda stuck one in your hand, shoved a plastic egg carton with colors in front of you and told you to paint. And the best part was afterwards when she admired your work, sticking her thumb in the air, rewarding you with one of her loose, drooling grins. Taylor remembers, it was all I could do to watch her die. I wanted someone to walk in the room with a pill or a prayer, something that would cure her illness or at least stop it in its tracks. But even if that happened, even if Jesus himself showed up to call her from the tomb, she would have had to die all over again, as Lazarus certainly did. It would have been a rescue from death instead of a triumph over it, a resuscitation instead of a resurrection. Now, something bigger than that was going on with Matilda. Every time she lost something she thought she could not live without, she found out that she could. First, there was a painful void that lasted an hour or a day or a week, and then something else moved in to fill the empty place. A fresh series of paintings, a new friend, a deeper sense of the presence of God. "He is calling me," she wrote on her slate one day. He is calling me like a bridegroom calling his bride. Her resurrection began even before she died, and everyone around her saw it. And when she set her cup down, it was empty. There was nothing wasted, nothing left over to spill or lament. She died clean as a whistle, and several of the people who sat by her bedside on that day said that their own fear of death died with her. Having watched her do it, they believe they can do it too. Personally, I'm still not so sure. I'm not quite ready to die just yet. I hate the smell of death, the rattle of death that blows through our homes and our families and our church and our communities. I believe Jesus has the power to raise the dead, only I'm not sure I want him practicing on me just yet. I would rather have a God who would rescue me from death or escort me around the cemetery instead of right through it. Or like Martha, I wish Jesus might go back in time to change whatever circumstances that might lead to your death or mine. "If only you had been there," Jesus said. And Jesus said, "No, I'm not there, but I am here. I'm right here now." What all of us have instead of Jesus back there is a God who conquers death by going straight through it himself. And Jesus heads back to Jerusalem after raising Lazarus from the dead, knowing, despite warnings from his disciples, knowing that the only way the victory can be won is by going right through it. He creates life in the midst of grief, love in the midst of loss, faith in the midst of despair. He meets us exactly where we are now, not where we could have been, not where we should be, but where we are today. He shows us with his own life that the only way to Easter is straight through Good Friday. "I am the resurrection and the life," Jesus tells a grieving Martha. "Not I will be or I might be, but I am. Right here, right now, for anyone willing to believe it's true. This is the word that became flesh to dwell among us, the word that wakes the dead, the word come to offer us life, even in our tombs, here and now. Amen."